It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You can also send in your questions and comments on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. We are only 2 days away from the NFL draft, thank goodness. But we still have a couple more days to talk about it. We're joined by a couple of draft experts today. First, we're joined by Danny McGoyan from All Media New York and Rick Serratella from AllAccessFootball.com and NFLDraftBible.com. Gentlemen, good morning. Are you ready to go for some draft talk here?
Oh, I'm locked and loaded.
Can't stop.
Can't stop indeed. All right, guys, let's get to it right now. And, Rick, let's start with you. The Giants pick at 19. Where does value meet need? We know the Giants are not going to reach for a player that plays a certain position there. So where will the Giants, in terms of position, get the highest graded player when they get up there and pick at number 19 in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Reese has done a wonderful job of kind of playing the waiting game and matching that best available talent up to team needs. And, you know, I think this year there's going to be a couple guys he hopes slides down to that number 19 spot. I think he would run to the podium if DJ Fluker from Alabama was there. Another guy, you know, that we hear is sliding is Bijan Werner, the defensive end from Florida State. And you got OC departing. He loves collecting defensive ends. And, you know, I know he's ran into a little bit of hard luck with these cornerbacks. So, I mean, a guy like Desmond Trufant will probably be there. Now you're hearing DJ Hayden and Xavier Rhodes might be the first two cornerbacks off of the board. So, and D. Milliner now with some medical leaks, he could slide to the Giants at 19. So I think it is going to be a big wait-and-see approach.
Well, Danny, let's see. Who do you think is going to be there? Are we going to have six offensive linemen go before the Giants pick at 19? And is Fluker going to be there? And is there a chance that one of the two guards could possibly slide down to 19?
Well, I mean, I think Fluker is the one guy that you would definitely be looking for at that spot to potentially slip down. I'm not sure if six are going to go before the Giants, but I could see that happening. Could one of the guards slip? I'd be surprised if one of the guards is there at 19. I think Warmack would be the more likely one to potentially slip because I think Cooper's athleticism and ceiling is a little higher, so I think somebody is definitely going to nab him before. But most likely, I don't think there's going to be a fit at guard. If they are going to address the offensive line with that first pick, I think Fluker would be the guy who could potentially be there that could be a nice fit at the tackle spot. But I'm kind of with Rick there. I think when I heard you ask that question, I was thinking secondary right away, and I think a guy like a Trufant or a Hayden could end up slipping there. Or even how about safety? I mean, I'm not totally sold on Stevie Brown as a long-term answer as a starter. What if Kenny Vaccaro out of Texas is there? You know, a highly productive player. I know Rick threw out a guy, Bjorn Warner. I think this would be the ideal spot for a kid like Warner. He's not that prototypical number one end. He's the guy that people feel like, hey, he's probably going to be a left defensive end going up against the right tackles. You already have a JPP. So I think that would be a perfect spot for him to land. And as Rick mentioned, we know the Giants, if they like a defensive end and he's there in the first round, they will not hesitate to grab that guy. And one other guy I think that could be a great fit would be the linebacker out of Georgia, the kid Alec Ogletree. He would definitely add some much-needed athleticism and speed to that linebacking core.
Yeah, and you mentioned, and another guy I know people have been talking about, and you mentioned Warner, he could slide in for Justin Tuck at that left defensive end spot. Tuck is on the last year of his contract with the Giants if they'd elect not to bring him back. Do you believe Werner's teammate from Florida State, Tank Carradine. I've seen him moving up a lot of draft boards, guys, and Rick, we'll start with you on this. Do you believe he could go that high despite the fact he's recovering from that knee injury?
Yeah, I think you could see him in the first round, depending on which team you talk to. Some people and some teams actually have Tank Carradine ranked ahead of Werner on their board. And I think he's a guy that if it were not for the injury, you'd probably be talking about, you know, the top two or three defensive ends and a surefire first rounder. And I think, you know, teams like the athleticism a little bit more that Tank Carradine brings to the table. So depending on which team you speak to, some guys have them interchanged. So I definitely think you could see Tank Carradine sneak into the latter part of that first round.
And, you know, Rick, Danny just mentioned Alec Ogletree. What's your opinion? Do you believe there's a linebacker with a high enough grade that can go at 19, or do you think that's that point in the draft?
I mean, just in terms of what the Giants look for, I think there's a little too much off-the-field baggage with a guy like Ogletree. I think a guy from LSU, Kevin Minter, is probably the safer pick. Of course, Manti Te'o, we can't forget about him as well. So, you know, I don't know if they go Ogletree. There's a guy, there's just a lot of character concerns there, which I don't think fits the Giants' DNA. But I think Kevin Minter is probably the safest guy. And these middle linebackers, I mean, they're another, you know, opinion-based kind of rankings when you talk to different teams. So I think when you talk about Te'o and Ogletree and Minter, I mean, those guys can come off the board in any order.
All right, Danny, you mentioned some of the guys in the secondary that could be there at 19. Now, this is also a very big, deep draft in that position. A lot of people think you can get a starting caliber corner or safety, for that matter, in the second round when the Giants pick in that spot. Do you believe that the Giants can get a starting quality guy in the defensive backfield in round number two, and that might make them hesitate to go there in round one and maybe go for offensive line or defensive line?
I mean, I think if you can, I think most teams, if you can get a big guy up front, if it's even, you're going to lean towards getting that guy in the line of scrimmage. So if the Giants have a similar grade to a corner as they do a front four guy or an offensive line guy, you know, I think they're going to lean towards the big body. So if it's Fluker against Trufant, I think they're going to lean towards Fluker. But if that guy's not there, I think they'll go DB. But to go back to, you know, how you started the question, I think there's definitely a lot of potential in the second round. You know, at corner, you got guys like a Jamar Taylor or a Ray Wilson out of UConn, another SEC kid, Jonathan Banks, who was right there with Milner throughout the season as who was the top college corner. And there's a bunch of safeties, Matt Elam, Eric Reed, who I like a lot out of LSU. He's kind of that ball hawking type of safety, great ball skills, excellent in zone coverage, especially when he can see what's happening in front of him. DJ Swearinger from South Carolina, and a little bit of a small school kid who's a little bit more of a question mark, in my opinion, just because of the level of competition is the kid Cyprian out of Florida. So there's definitely a bunch of guys that I think that will be in that range for the Giants and G-Men at number 49.
Rick, how about cornerback? Is Milner still going to be the first cornerback off the board, or is the DJ Hayden bandwagon that strong, or is it going to be a guy like Xavier Rhodes? Who's going to be the first corner off the board, and where do you think he's going to go?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people prefer Xavier Rhodes' press man coverage over DeMarcus Milner, so I think that's a possibility. And, you know, depending on how teams value that medical concern with DJ Hayden, you're hearing more and more teams kind of rank him number one. But just to follow up on what you guys were talking about in the secondary, I kind of see it a little bit differently with the Giants at number 49, because I think you're looking at those tier two secondary guys. To me, you know, Cyprian might sneak into the first round, but Carroll's going to be off the board. By the time 49 rolls around, you're talking about Eric Reed and Matt Elam, the next two, you know, starting caliber safeties in this draft. They're not going to be there for the Giants at 49. And at the cornerback position, you know, I think, again, you're talking about that tier two group of corners where you're not going to get, you know, a plug-and-play starter in the second round necessarily, where in the first round, if you can get one of these guys who slides and even throw Desmond Trufant into the mix, there's four corners shoeing starters at the next level. I think they need to try and get one of those guys.
Interesting, Rick. Well, where do you think there is going to be value then when the Giants pick in that second round? Where do you think they could find a potential starter?
Well, I think inside linebacker is definitely a need, and a guy, you know, that slides to the second round, whether it be an an Ogletree, maybe because of the character he slides. Maybe Kevin Minter's still there. You got a couple other guys sneaking up. John Bostic from Florida is a fast riser. Probably going to go in the second round. Maybe he's there for the Giants. I like an A.J. Klein at Iowa State, where, you know, some people don't have him ranked that high, but I think that would be a great pick, a guy that can come in and start. So I look at the inside linebacker position, and I also look at the offensive tackle position. If they don't address that in the first round, I think there's some really good developmental guys that the Giants could grab, like a David Quisenberry, even a Vincent Painter from Virginia Tech, and Kyle Long from Oregon, another fast riser who can play guard or tackle. And we saw what the Giants did with David Deal and bring him and develop him along. So I kind of think Kyle Long is a guy the Giants could be targeting in round two.
Yeah, I very much see Kyle Long as a young mini David Deal. He can play a lot of different positions, very versatile. We're joined on Big Blue Kickoff Live by Rick Saratella from AllAccessFootball.com, NFLDraftBible.com, and Danny McGoyan from All Media NY. And Danny, let's take a look at some defensive tackles here. A couple defensive tackles could be on the board when the Giants go at 19. Give me the difference and give me who you think is better and why between Sheldon Richardson and Sylvester Williams.
I lean towards Sheldon Richardson myself. He's a little lighter, but he's definitely a lot quicker. Maybe not as consistent in terms of the production, but I just love that first step that he can get, and he can just, you know, penetrate, get into the backfield, get right through that gap. And I know the Giants like those quick interior linemen. That's why they like to put those DNs in there a lot. I think he's a guy that has a higher ceiling than a Sylvester Williams. Love the way he moves, change directions. Not always the most consistent guy, and I don't think he's reached that ceiling yet in terms of him being a pass rusher. He needs to work on those moves a little bit. But I think I like the talent level there from a Sheldon Richardson out of Missouri. He's one of the few guys on the Tigers that actually looked like he belonged on the field in the SEC as they transitioned conferences last year.
Rick, you can give me your take on the defensive tackles as well. Also want to get your opinion on one of the guys that has been a very hot topic recently. A lot of people projecting him. I even saw, I believe it was Mike Mayock or was it McShay, project him as a top 10 pick the other day, and that's the tight end out of Notre Dame, Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll start off with just touching base briefly on the defensive tackles. I mean, a guy like Sheldon Richardson, I think he offers a lot of upside in terms of pass rush ability from the defensive tackle position. And for that reason, I don't think he'll be on the board for the Giants. I see the Panthers, I think, picking at number 15,
okay,
maybe targeting a Sheldon Richardson. You know, Sylvester Williams is interesting. They've dipped into that North Carolina talent pool before. Maybe a guy like Jesse Williams is another consideration from Alabama. But touching base on the tight end, Eifert, I mean, I think this kid is very explosive. I think he's one of the more talented tight ends we've seen in a long time. I could see him even going as high as number 13 to the Jets to replace Dustin Keller. So I do think he's off the board before the top 20 overall pick. And I think that you could see two tight ends going in the first round, where you look at a lot of mock drafts, you don't really see that going on. But I think Zach Ertz also sneaks into that first round conversation.
My question for you on Eifert, is he a two-way tight end? Can he block, or is he one of these guys that you're going to have to use as an H-back and split him out wide?
You know, I think his blocking needs a little bit of work, but I think it's there. The fundamentals are there, and with the right coaching, you know, you get him into the right coaching staff, he'll be fine at the tight end position and blocking. But I think, you know, with the new explosive tight ends we've seen burst onto the scene in recent seasons, I think his value and the upside, just what he brings to the table as a pass catcher. You talk about a Kobe Fleener last year. I think this kid is twice the talent of a Fleener, and I think
wow,
he can be very explosive.
Well, Danny, the Jets moved up. They got a second pick in the first round yesterday, trading Darrelle Revis to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Your take on the trade, one, and number two, more likely now that maybe we get two quarterbacks to go in the first round of this draft with the Jets having two first-round picks?
Well, my take on the trade is, personally, I wasn't a fan of the trade from the Jets' perspective. I think, you know, Revis had the potential to become the greatest Jet ever. I think he was on his way there. Obviously, you had the injury with the wrist, so it's not guaranteed that he's going to get back to that level again. I know a lot of people seem to think that that's a lot of money for a cornerback, but I think it's hard to just say cornerback, because you see all these other cornerbacks go from team to team, whether it's a Nambi or a Dante Robinson, and they really disappoint Revis is a guy that's played at an elite high level. And you watch the playoffs last year, there wasn't one cornerback in the league that stopped anybody. I mean, basically every team in the postseason threw at will. You know, apologies to Richard Sherman, but the last time we saw you play, you gave up a 50-yard touchdown to Roddy White. You know, when we saw Revis play in the postseason, I mean, Peyton Manning didn't even look Reggie Wayne's way. You know, having said that, I understand, you know, they weren't going to pay him, so they had to make a move. Unfortunately for the team, he was coming off the injury, so they probably didn't get the most value. You know, you think back to when they traded Keyshawn, who was nowhere near being the top number one receiver in the NFL at that time. They got two number ones. So with Revis, they only got one number one. At this point, it is what it is. It's a rebuilding process. You know, you would hope that when you get rid of an elite player like that, you get a bushel of picks, something that you could really build your franchise around. At the end of the day, they really only got two picks, and they're going to have to replace Revis in terms of adding another corner. Now, will that lead the Jets to draft a quarterback at number one? Honestly, I don't think so. I think if you really believe in Geno Smith and he was there at number nine and you thought he was going to be the guy that was going to turn the franchise around, I think you should have him anyway, even if you only had one number one pick.
Right.
So I think adding that second pick, I don't know if that's necessarily enough. I don't think that franchise quarterback is there, and I think the Jets have so many needs. I mean, basically, outside of the defensive end where they have Wilkerson and Copeland, is there a position where this team doesn't have a need? So, you know, it's time to address that offensive line, and it's time to finally add that pass rusher, you know, that they haven't had since they let John Abraham go. So if I was drafting for the Jets, I think those would be the two main positions I would focus on. But at the end of the day, you know, Rick threw out the name of Tyler Eifert. Best player on the board, just grab him because most likely he's going to fit a need with the Jets.
All right, Rick, are any quarterbacks in this draft going to start game one of their rookie year?
I believe so. I think this quarterback class has been all undervalued. I don't think there's a franchise quarterback, but you know, I got to say, I've never been associated with a draft this close into it. We just don't know how they're going to come off the board. You're hearing Ryan Nassib, most likely the first quarterback taken to Buffalo at number eight. Now you're hearing teams value Tyler Wilson higher than a Geno Smith. There's a possibility Geno Smith and Matt Barkley don't even go in the first round. But I think at the end of the day, this is a quarterback-starved league. There's too many quarterback-needy teams. And there's just, you know, subpar starters at the National Football League. So I think for that reason alone, and especially in the back end of the first round where I think you'll see the majority of the trading, some of these teams that pass on a quarterback in the first round in the top 12, maybe they trade back into the latter part of the first round. So I think we see at least two, maybe even three quarterbacks in the first round, in my opinion.
I want to touch on the two skill positions before we say goodbye. Danny, let's start with you. Running back, when are we going to see the first running back come off the board, do you believe? And do you believe it will be Eddie Lacy from Alabama?
I think it probably will be Eddie Lacy from Alabama. I'm not sure if he's going to come off the board in the first round, though. Like you said, I mean, a lot of people picture first round, you know, that first running back and Eddie Lacy type coming up late in the first round. But as Rick said, as you're going to see teams saying, hey, you know, we can trade out of this pick, maybe get some extra picks for a team that's looking for a quarterback, and then we can grab a running back in the second or third round. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those drafts where we, you know, day one is over and there's no running back selected yet. But I'd lean towards Lacy as being the number one guy.
Rick, how about the wide receivers? Tavon Austin, do you think he's the first receiver off the board, or do you think Patterson's going to stay up there and be picked ahead of Austin because of Austin's lack of size?
No, I think Tavon Austin is headed for the top 10, and if he's there at number 13 for the Jets, I think that's a possibility too. But I think he's clearly separated himself as the top wideout. I actually have Nuke Hopkins from Clemson coming off the board before Cordarrelle Patterson.
Wow. Very good, very good. All right, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Danny, let's start with you first. Who do the Giants wind up with the 19th overall pick in the 2013 NFL Draft?
With the 19th overall pick, I think they're going to grab Mr. Desmond Trufant out of Washington. I think you know, they have a lot of bodies there at cornerback in terms of Prince and Webster and Hosley, and they, you know, they brought back Ross, and Thomas is trying to work his way back. But at the end of the day, I don't know how much you can count on any one of those guys. I think Trufant is a guy that's very productive at the college level. He's got great instincts. He's got excellent technique. I think he's ready to step in and play, and I think he's going to make that pass defense a lot better if they have him at number 19 with that first pick.
Rick, who do the Giants walk away with their first-round pick? And I'll throw you a bonus. Who do you think they're going to get with their second-round pick?
Okay. First round pick, I'm going to go Menelik Watson from Florida State.
Wow.
You know, import prospect, a little bit of a, you know, older player, but I think the glaring need on the offensive line is just too great to pass up, especially in that first round. So they're going to have to address the offensive line. I think Menelik Watson is the guy that's kind of there. I think Fluker's off the board. When you talk about the second round, let's make it interesting, shall we?
I always like it interesting.
We'll go on the defensive side of the ball. How about a kid in the local area, Akasim Green,
I like
Big East Player of the Year, back-to-back, and a guy that's just all over the field, and I think he would fit wonderfully in that 4-3 defense.
How about you, Danny? Second-round pick for the Giants.
I like a guy you guys talked about before. That's the kid Kyle Long out of Oregon. You know, maybe not highest production at the college level with a junior college transfer, you know, split some time between guard and tackle. I think ultimately he's probably going to be a guard, but I think a great upside. I think you're getting a lot of talent at that point if he's still available. He might not be, but if he's still available and he grades out so high as a pass protector, which I think is so key in the direction of the NFL going, particularly the way the Giants play football.
Gentlemen, great stuff. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the draft on Thursday, all right?
You got it, my man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, John.
All right, guys, take it easy. That's Danny Magoyan from All Media New York and Rick Saratella, allaccessfootball.com, NFLDraftBible.com. We thank them for joining us. Excellent work. They join us every year, do a great job. We'll talk to them after the draft as well, talk some NFL football. 201-939-4513. That's good. Your reaction and your opinion. And I felt bad leaving this guy on hold the entire interview. We haven't heard from him so long, and I keep on hold for 20 minutes. My man Victor in Texas. Victor, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, that wasn't a problem. That was very good information. I felt like, you know, that, you know, the guys are on point, and they weren't just giving out that vanilla answer. You know, they did their homework. It was pretty interesting, so I didn't mind being on hold.
So what's going on, Victor? How you been? Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back, but, you know, I'm leaving in June. I'm going to go to Korea in June, so, you know, it's a short time. I'll be gone for a year. Then after that, I'll come back. I'm going to miss the Super Bowl. You know, definitely wanted to be there. Kind of sucks that I'm going now and it's in New York, you know. Don't know when that's ever going to happen again. So.
Well, obviously, let's just hope when you go to Korea that it's still a very peaceful Korea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hope so, man. It's not a good time to be going there. But
no, it is not.
Duty calls.
I hear you.
Looking at the draft, you know, a lot of Giants fans are like, you know, we should draft a linebacker. And this is my thing, you know. I totally agree. The position hasn't been the same since that Parcells era. And that's what I think everybody stuck in that Parcells era where you had LT, you had Banks, you had Pepper Johnson. I mean, you had those great linebackers. But you got to think about the time back then. The quarterbacks back then weren't that great as they are now. They were good, but they weren't that great. And the mobility of the quarterback now and the rule changes, we have to draft defensive linemen. And what Jerry Reese has cooked up here is something that's been working for us. When our NASCAR is running and it's running high and the high octane, we get to the quarterback, and that's what we were missing. So with the Bradys out there, with the new running quarterbacks, all these option quarterbacks, and definitely got RG3 we got to deal with, we got to have those defensive ends that get to the quarterback. And that's why I think we're going to draft in the first round, because, you know, linebackers don't get to the quarterbacks, you know, and that's just what it is. And I like how he's bolstered up the inside of that line, too. You know, we got Sean Rogers and we got Cullen Jenkins and we got people to fill that void to stop the run as well. But I don't think we need that great linebacker anymore unless the game changes. Because look at the linebackers that we won with before. Antonio Pierce, he was a good linebacker. He wasn't great. We had Chase Blackburn. We brought him off the couch. I mean, just think about, you know, what Jerry Reese is doing. I believe in his concept because it's shown that it works. We got two Super Bowls out of it. And, you know, linebacker, is it a premium? Would I like to have it? Yes. But I think we could address it maybe the second or third round. I think it's going to be addressed in the third round. Because I think we go, you know, we're going to go defensive lineman, and then we're going to go offensive lineman. And we'll probably catch a linebacker that slips down there. because a lot of people don't think the linebacker class out of this is great. I think we'll find a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, Victor, I agree. I think the Giants go either offensive line or defensive line in that first round. I'm not sure one of the better offensive linemen are going to be on the board, which means they might go defensive line. I think you're right. I think they need to start rebuilding that. You lose OC. Justin Tucker's on the last year of his contract. Who knows if he's going to be back and if he's ever going to be the same player that he was 2 or 3 years ago. Jason Pierre-Paul had a step back year last year. You know, he needs to come back and be a dominant player again. And even a defensive tackle, you mentioned all these reinforcements. But beyond this season, they only have two players under contract, Marcus Kuhn and Cohen Jenkins. Linval Joseph is a free agent, along with everybody else, Patterson, Austin, Rodgers, they're all free agents after this year. So I think this team, and their strength has always been the defensive line, needs to rebuild it, get it stronger, and head into next year trying to get a little younger on that defensive line as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, John, you make a great point, and I'll just leave you with this. You're totally right. You have all those people leaving, and Justin Tucker's on his last year of his contract. Are the Giants going to offer him a multi-year contract after this? Pierre-Paul is the future. You got to get somebody else on the other side with him. You know, you got Mathias Kiwanuka. He's been back and forth so much. He's a natural defensive end. You know, is he ready to take that? Is he ready to take that left side? Is he ready to take over that? You know, so Giants going to start bolstering up that defensive line and the back end. I think if we get T2 coming back healthy, we got Stevie Brown back there. We got our man back. Forgot the quarterback's name. We got him. What's his name? Help me out.
Aaron Ross.
We got Aaron Ross back. He's familiar with the system. And, you know, we're good back there, but can we get better? Yes. But I think the defensive line up front, that's our bread and butter, and that's why I think Jerry Reese, he's going to do that. Unless, John, unless somebody slips down and he just looks at it and it's too good to be true, we have to draft that person, BPA, best player available.
Now, Victor, I hear you. It's good to hear from you, man. By the way, what did you think of the Giants' schedule? Your thoughts?
Oh, well, the schedule, you know what? The Dallas game. I usually go to that game every year. Like I said, I'm going to miss it this year. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not a bad schedule at all. I mean, having a 5 or 7-game stretch where we don't even travel?
Yeah, it's funny. Awesome. Yeah, we travel to Chicago on October the 9th, a Wednesday, and then the Giants do not step foot on a plane again. Now, this is just an airline until December 7th. So they go nearly 2 months without getting on a plane. And if you just want to go in terms of not traveling at all, they travel to Philadelphia on October 27th. They don't travel again until November 31st. So you have a very long period in the middle of the season where the Giants are simply not going to have to travel a whole lot.
And that is awesome because, you know, we got some players on there that's going to need that rest. And, you know, some traveling in different time zones, especially when we go to the West Coast. You know, it takes a toll on those guys, and those guys have a chance of recovery at their own facility. They don't have to sit and wait. I mean, it's pretty good.
Well, Victor, and I'll tell you, the one West Coast trip they have is to San Diego, and that's in December. Even though it's a long flight, trust me, players are not going to be complaining about going to San Diego in December.
No, I hear you. That's going to be good.
I appreciate it, Victor.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. You have a great day.
Hey, good to hear from you. Victor down in Texas. We thank him for his service in the U.S. military. He does an excellent job, and we wish him the best. I'm sure we'll talk to him again before he heads out to Korea in June. But he just came back from active duty in one of the hot spots. So we're very happy he's back, and he's well, and we thank him for his service. 201-939-4513. Shakes is down in Baltimore. What's up, Shakes?
Hey, what's going on?
What do you got?
Hey, man, I want to do a lot to get on this show. And got hung up on and everything. First of all, I want to say thank you for the show. Like, I really appreciate it because, like, nowadays, like, the social media and everything, like, this is a good way for people to actually have a voice.
Nah, I appreciate it, Chase. No problem.
Yeah, I appreciate this. I want to say what's going on with the Hurricanes, Miami, the U? You know, like, where's their talent at? Why they don't have talent no more? Is it the coaching? everybody goes to Alabama, LSU because of the coaching? What is it? Like, what's going on with the coaching at Miami?
They just, I guess, haven't had the recruiting ability to get those top players. It's strange how these things go through cycles. Once Butch Davis left there, and now considering what's happened to Butch Davis since then, you wonder if everything he was doing was on the up and up in Florida. Then you had Coker down there. Obviously, he didn't recruit very well. And how about Florida State, too? When's the last time Florida State... You know, they've had some defensive players that could play. Don't get me wrong. When's the last time Florida State had a big-time offensive prospect come out of the draft? Remember in the middle 90s when you had Charlie Ward and Chris Wenke, you know, Deion, Terrell Buckley, Warwick Dunn. Yeah. You had all these big-time offensive players. No one's going to Florida State anymore. No one's going to Miami. And even Florida's had some down years, too. You're right. Everyone's going to these SEC teams now. The Alabamas, you know, Auburn a couple years ago, LSU. I don't understand why people are so down on Florida.
I don't know neither. This re-option that's just spreading like wildfire, that's why I don't really want to take a Ron Warner with the first pick, because I just think that the quarterbacks are going to fly past him in our division. I mean, we got Vic, and if he don't start, then Dixon will. And we got RG3, of course, and Romo's no slow person either. So that's why I don't really like Ron Warner in the first, because this read option is catching like wildfire.
Well, the only good thing about Warner, though, is not strictly a pass rusher. He's what you call a two-way defensive end. He'll rush the passer a little bit, but he's also very big and strong, and he can play well against the run. So if you're looking for somebody that can give you a little bit of everything, Warner actually probably is your guy. He's very much in that Justin Tuck mode where he can stop the run, maybe not an elite pass rusher, but he can get to the pass rusher as well.
When I watch him, you know who I see?
Who's that?
I see Dave Tollison. I see Dave Tollison. I really do.
I think he's in fairness, I think Warner is a little bit more talented than Dave Tollison, who I believe was a seventh-round draft pick. Warner's going to go in the first round here. So I think Warner with a lot more natural talent than Dave Tollison.
I don't know. And last thing, and I'm gone.
What do you got?
What's up with the Giants' offense like? It's, like, so old-fashioned. Our offense is like White Castle burgers, like, old and plain. Like, we don't never keep up with the times. I mean, the Wildcat came out, we ain't do it. the read option is spreading like wildfire. We don't got nobody to do it.
Jake's,
why are we so old-fashioned?
I know a lot of people that'll swear by Whitey's. So, people love their White Castle. It works. It's traditional. It's old school. They like their sack of burgers. They like their fries. They like the mozzarella sticks, the chicken fingers, and it works. I'm not a big White Castle guy myself, but a lot of people like it. And what the Giants have done offensively, even this past year, it works. It works.
Right.
They're one of the top offensive teams in the league year in, year out. Eli Manning runs Kevin Gilbride's offensive system where they read the coverages, they have the read and react based on how the defensive is playing, and that's what made Victor Cruz such a great wide receiver. So I understand it's frustrating. You get no trick plays. You don't have anybody, doing flea flickers or end the rounds or read options.
Right.
I get that. But with the Giants personnel, and especially with Eli Manning, what they do plays to his strengths, and it works. And remember, the Giants weren't bad last year because of their offense. They were bad last year because they couldn't stop anybody. So, I wouldn't look to change our offense too much.
I don't want to change it too much, but just add a little sprinkles to it, to the banana ice cream a little bit, you know?
I hear you, Shakes. I appreciate it, man.
All right.
Thanks, man. I do like the White Castle analogy, though. That's not bad. My buddy Joel was listening. He tried to convince me to go. Always tries to convince me to go to White Castle with him. And I say, no, I want to be able to actually stand up in the morning and go to work. I don't want to be in a White Castle coma, which I think we've all experienced after we've made that unfortunate White Castle decision at around 1 o'clock in the morning. Hello. 201-939-4513. We're going to go to Antonio in Randolph, New Jersey. Antonio, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? This is my second time calling in.
Hey, thanks for calling.
I want to comment about Shakes' comments. The Giants need to go back to being a little more disciplined this year in the ground and pound. But some of the best teams over the course of the years have been, at least a tandem of two to three running backs. You know, you had Jacobs a few years ago, basically was the lead guy. Bradshaw apparently fell off because of his knee and his ankles. But I really think the best way to put this team back together this year, and I'm going to call them an 8-8 team now, would be basically to return to basically letting Coughlin discipline his own players and not let the coordinators start getting in the way of the flow of the offense and the defense.
Well, I can tell you, Tom Coughlin still has a very big hand, especially in the offensive side of the ball, running that offense. It's Kevin Gilbride's system, but trust me, Tom Coughlin has his head in those meetings, and he has his head in the defensive meeting room as well. I agree with you, though. I think you do need to get a little bit more balance. You can't put quite as much pressure on Eli Manning. And I think the Giants right now have two guys they believe can fill that Bradshaw and Jacobs role. And quite frankly, if they stay healthy, I think they could actually maybe be as or more effective than those guys were even when they were in their prime. Andre Brown showed a lot last year as a power back. You know, one step, foot in the ground, make a cut, get upfield. David Wilson is more explosive than anybody I've ever seen play running back for the Giants since I've been here.
It's only second year this year. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think if those guys can stay healthy, look, there's no guarantee they can. Neither one has ever stayed healthy as a full-time running back in the NFL. Can they do it? I think they can, but let's find out. But I do think they have the personnel that can do it.
What happened to Lumpkin? Lumpkin was a good pickup at the end of last year. I enjoyed watching him. I think he had a good head on his shoulders. He was like a Hampton kind of.
They like Lumpkin as a pass protector, a guy that understood the offense and things like that, but they believe a guy like Ryan Terrain has more running ability, and I think that's why they decided to bring back Terrain rather than returning Lumpkin.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Antonio. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. You have a great day.
Hey, you too, man. 201-939-4513. Let's wrap things up with Dave in Rochester. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, brother. I know we talked about it a bunch of times, but we really haven't heard your insight. The whole Mantel Tail thing.
Okay.
There's all kinds of things going on. He's going to go in the first round. Now they're bumping him back and forth. From a Giants perspective, and Dottino talked about it, and Lance talked about it, what's your insight? Why is or is this not a great fit? It's almost intriguing. We need that linebacker, and I don't watch college that much, so I don't know as maybe much as some other fans, but why is this not attractive?
The problem with Manti Te'o is his athleticism. He didn't run a great 40. He's not the best athlete in the world, but he is a football player. And through, I believe Manti Te'o is a football player. He can stop the run really well. He has good instincts. He'll play hard. He'll play hurt. He'll leave everything out there on the field. He'll be a good leader on defense. He has all those intangibles you're looking for as a guy who lives and breathes football 24 hours a day. And I think while some people off the field get obsessed with all that, you know, fake girlfriend nonsense, I don't think the NFL teams really care about that much, to be honest with you. I think they worry about his raw athletic ability on third downs and in passing situations. Can he cover those tight ends down the field? Can he stay with that quick running back out of the backfield? Can he track sideline to sideline against a guy, say, like David Wilson, who gets a handoff, tries to make it outside? Can Manti Te'o get out there, have the speed to cut off that sideline, turn him back inside, and make a play? And I'm not sure a lot of NFL teams think he has that raw athleticism to be that type of playmaker. And again, covering tight ends down the field is such a big part of the game now with these great tight ends. And if you can't do that as a linebacker, you're just very, very limited in how much teams can have you on the field. I still think he's a first-round pick. I think he'll go somewhere around 30.
And, well, if I may interject, Johnny, that what you described is almost Chase Blackburn-like. Tough, stocky football player, not real fast, maybe can jock out a pass here and there. So I guess that's kind of where I was a little confused. And, you know, probably a good special teamer, but maybe because he would be at 19, you might have to pay him a little bit more, and maybe that's why he might go in the later round. He'd be good for lesser money.
Well, I mean, a lot like I thought it was unfair to compare a guy like Bjorn Warner to Dave Tollefson. Warner is a much better athlete than Tollefson ever was. It's also very important to note that Te'o is, while he's limited athletically, is say, compared to a guy like Jarvis Jones or Ogletree or guys like that, he's still a much better athlete than a Chase Blackburn who went undrafted. I mean, this is a guy that I think can start in this league and at least be a two-down linebacker for a long time if he can stay healthy and he gets put in the right system. See, Te'o's a guy that has to be protected a little bit. He's not going to take on these big offensive linemen, push him aside, then make a play. He needs the defensive linemen up front to keep offensive linemen off of him so he can make a play.
All right, cool. And then, man, I just wanted to check to see what your plans were, what the Giants.com's plans were for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, any special shows. Will the show still continue? Anything special going on?
We will have the shows in the morning. Lance is going to come on with me tomorrow. I'm not sure what I'm doing Thursday and Friday yet, but we will be on in the morning. We're having a special live show the night of the draft. I believe it's going to start sometime around 9 on Giants.com, and then it's going to be on MSG after I think the Rangers play a game that night. Friday night we're going to have a show at night as well. Right now it's scheduled for 7:30 to 8:30 while the Giants make their selection at number 2, and we'll be on in the morning too. Saturday, I'm not sure if we're going to do a live show on Saturday just because I know a lot of people are kind of out of the house and doing stuff, but we will have draft-related content on as well. And, of course, all the press conferences from Jerry Reese, Tom Coughlin, Mark Ross. If we hear from if the Giants' first-round pick is in the building on Thursday, heck, maybe their second-round pick is in the building too. That happens sometimes, right, like Ruben Randall last year. You might have that guy talk to the media either at Radio City or here at the Timex Performance Center. So everything you're going to need, we'll have up-to-the-minute stuff on Giants.com. So I would suggest you just keep hitting refresh over and over again for Thursday to Saturday.
Beautiful.
All right,
Brother,
Dave.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Everybody, great job on the phone today. Thank you to Danny Magoyan and Rick Saratella. They did a great job breaking down the draft for us. I think we finally heard enough about all these players, Dan. What do you think? Are we good? You think we've heard enough analysis? You're solid? Good. I think so, too. So tomorrow and Thursday, it'll be your turn, the fan's turn. Lance will be joining us tomorrow. Me and him will bicker for a good 45 minutes to an hour and kind of have fun with the draft. And we'll go from there. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. on Giants.com. Have a good day.